So, getting along here with the series, When You Pray. If you guys haven't been here the last few weeks, I've been going through the Lord's Prayer and talking about when you pray. This is the whole premise of the Lord's Prayer, is it's not just a prayer to repeat, but it's when you pray. Pray in this way. This should mold, it should shape our prayer life. And so that's kind of what I'm hoping for in this series, is that it will show us that when we pray and we kind of go through our checklist, or if you're somebody who prays the Lord's Prayer, these are things that we need to be getting in our heart and in our mind as we're praying. Joyce Meyer has this quote that I love, and it was, prayer doesn't just change things, it changes us. If we're diligent in seeking God, slowly and surely we become better people. I'm not just about being better people, right? We know good people. It's not about being a good person, but it is about being changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times the avenue for that change is prayer, right? It's the way that we communicate with God. And the more that we pray, the more that we should be changed. Prayer doesn't just change things, but it changes us. There's not a whole lot of times where we sit down in prayer and we're like, Lord, change me, is there? There's a whole lot of times where it's like, Lord, change him, change her, change this situation. But you know what? Prayer changes us. When things change, we will change. When we're petitioning an all-powerful God and he responds, and as the Holy Spirit begins to move in our lives and we see that power of God, we begin to see his heart revealed in the way that he's working, and it should change our heart in the process. So we're looking at what happens when you pray, this mindset, the things we need to remember, who God is, his power, his desires. Here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13 is the Lord's Prayer. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we've focused a lot on God as we've been going through this week. I don't even know what week we're in, like five or something. We've focused a lot on God. I think that's pretty good, right? God first. That we focused a lot of our energy and our focus on him. Isn't that really the basis that we even need when we sit down or kneel or stand up, however you're going to pray? Isn't that really the basis we need, is God first, right? We kind of need to know our position in relation to him. We kind of need to have our focus on Jesus before we really are going to impact ourselves. We need that heart that's God-centered instead of self-centered, right? It's really easy to have a self-centered heart. How many of you have been there? Right? How many of you are there today? Right at the moment, I don't think I am, but maybe I was this morning. I don't know. It's really easy to have that self-centered heart, but when we come in prayer, what we really, really need is a God-centered heart. And that's certainly what we ought to have when we leave prayer, if we've had an encounter with God. Jesus at the center, right? Jesus at the core, everything revolving around him and stemming from him. If you know him, kind of looking back at the past few weeks, his fatherly nature, the fact that he desires to draw you close to him, even though he's a mighty, powerful God that seems far off, he wants you near. If we remember his holiness, that he's unlike any other, that he's so far set apart from all other things. If we remember his reign, that his kingdom, if it's his kingdom, then he's the king. And if he's the king, then he reigns, which means he's in authority over all. That's an important thing to remember in our prayers, is that Jesus has the authority. And then last week, his will, if we remember his plans, if we remember his desires for us, if we remember all those things, we remember that he cares very much about our life. Does he not? Right? He cares very much about our life. He cares so much about our life that Jesus came and died on the cross so that we could be saved, that our sins could be forgiven, that we could be wiped free, set free from our past, and wiped clean. So we get that God cares about our spiritual state. Did anybody argue that? That God cares about our spiritual state? Well, I'll tell you that he also very much cares about your physical state, your physical condition. Because you know what? What is eternal life? Eternal life is that we may know him and him who he sent, Jesus. Eternal life is that we know him, and that's now. That's today in this physical body. Okay? He doesn't just want us to get saved, to know Jesus, suffer through this terrible, miserable, wretched life, and then one day go to heaven. I mean, that would not be a good God in my estimation. Okay? Maybe in yours. In mine, that would not be a good God. He cares about our life right now, today, in this physical body, in the things that we're going through, in the needs that we have. He cares. Okay? We're going to see that right here, verse 11 in the Lord's Prayer. This is when there's a shift that, first of all, it takes kind of the focus off of God. Again, not removing the focus from God, okay? But it's kind of like we've been looking at God, and now we're going to look at the mirror and ask for a few things for ourselves. Verse 11 says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Simple verse, okay? And at the time, you got to think, we always got to think when we're reading the word, we want to know how we apply it today, but we really need to be thinking, okay, what was it kind of like whenever he was saying it right then and there, right? Because I don't, like, there's people in here right now doing a no-carb or a low-carb diet, and you're like, don't need any bread, thank you, right? Can't have any. I guess I'll skip that part. Don't skip over, give us our daily bread. I mean, if you're doing a low-carb diet, you know, you still need the bread, right? Maybe not bread that you're going to eat. They make gluten-free bread if you're, you know, have a gluten thing. Greg pointed out yesterday our chips from Chick-fil-A. Very nice. Gluten-free chips. Yeah, they were good. But the bread, you need the bread, okay? Bread, when Jesus is saying bread, bread, you got to understand today, is not quite as impactful as it was. I mean, you go to a lot of restaurants and they give you bread, right? If you're like me, I like bread, but I love meat. So if I go to a steakhouse, I don't really care that much about the bread because I want to make sure I can eat the whole steak. Right? I'm gonna work in reverse. I'm going to eat the whole steak, eat some of the potatoes and the broccoli, and then if there's bread left, I might eat bread. Okay. Now, years ago, it was like people didn't eat a meal without bread. And some of you may still be like that. There's always bread on the table. In the days of the Bible, they always ate bread. Right? Bread was a basic necessity for life. If you didn't have bread, you probably didn't have anything to eat. Okay? It was a necessity, and it was a basic necessity. And so in this model for prayer, we really need to be looking at bread more than just bread. Okay? It's kind of like, this is the symbol for what we need for life. This is the symbol. I'm asking God to provide for my physical needs. What do I need physically in my life today? What are the basic necessities that I need? Now, some of you are already thinking this because I was taught this at some point in my life. And I'm not going to completely discount it. I'm just going to tell you right now, this is not where I'm going. Sometimes we read that and we read, give us this day our daily bread. And we think that what that means is I'm going to crack open the Bible and I want you to feed me spiritually. I want you to give me my daily bread. Give me my spiritual nourishment. Give me what I need, the scripture I need to hear today. Okay? That's a lot of times what we need. I'm going to tell you, I studied this for hours and hours and hours in trying to find this, and I never found it. I never found any scriptural basis for that. I never found any commentaries that pointed to that. And again, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying that I don't think that's what Jesus was speaking to his disciples. Because you also have to remember, if you wanted daily bread as in a scripture, you had to go down to the library, or the synagogue probably, and you had to check out a scroll, right? They weren't handing out copies of the Gospel of John. They didn't have them, okay? So when he's talking about daily bread, he's not speaking of opening up the Bible and getting spiritual nourishment. Okay, you can use it for that. You can pray that, and that can be what you mean. But I'm just looking at what was Jesus speaking to his disciples. What was he trying to get them to think about as they're praying and they're petitioning the Lord. What did Jesus mean? What was he trying to get them to ponder here? Proverb 30. This is titled The Wisdom of Aguar. And I want you to see what he says here in verse 7. Proverbs 30, verse 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far away from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. I think that's more than two things. But he said he was asking two things. And then the key here is he says, don't give me poverty or riches, but give me my daily bread. He's talking about his provision for his life. He's saying that I need provision for my life, God. That's what I'm asking for you today. I'm asking you for provision for my life. Some of you are in here today and maybe you're asking for provision for your life. That's a good thing to pray for. And by the time we're done with this sermon, you're going to see that no matter what your bank account looks like, this is something that's important that we pray regularly. But how many of you are bold enough to pray this prayer right here in Proverbs 30? Don't give me too little, Lord. How many are like, yes and amen. Don't give me too little. Hallelujah. I'll take some of that. How many of you are willing to say, Lord, don't give me too much? A couple of hands. Most of you are like, I'm not even sure that's possible, right? I mean, I'd be wise with it, right? I got some good ideas. I got some good investment ideas. I got some people I would help. I mean, I don't know about too much. How about give me only what I need for today? Give me only what I need for today. That's a really bold prayer. If you pray that prayer, that's like one of those when you pray for patience, all hell's breaking loose this week. Guarantee it. Right? I mean, it is. Because that's how patience is produced, is by testing. Okay? And so if you're willing to pray this prayer, give me only my daily bread, things are going to get tight. Things are going to get rough because my daily bread means that I don't have bread for tomorrow, but it means I have bread for today. No extra, no savings, no cushion, no comfort, only what I need to live for today. This is what Aguar is praying for here. He said he doesn't want too much and he doesn't want too little. He just wants what he needs for today. You know, the problem is that a lot of us don't even need something for today, right? I mean, remember, I'm not talking about in a spiritual state. I'm saying in a physical state, most of us, I feel comfortable saying almost everyone in this room probably doesn't need something today to physically get by, that you will make it till tomorrow. I mean, right? You don't even have to eat today, and you will make it till tomorrow. I think it's a whole lot more comfortable to look at this verse and think of spiritual nutrition. I need spiritual bread because we all know that we need that, right? No matter what place we're at, we all know that we need that. We all know that we need more of that. We don't even have to think about it. But physical needs, again, we could actually probably get by today without God. Could we not? I mean, unless he intervenes and does something. But I mean, we could probably get by today with our physical needs. You have something you can eat, even if you don't like it, right? You probably have something. You have something you could sell if you're broke, right? If you really needed money, there's something you could get rid of. And there's somebody looking for a bargain, right? You go to sell a $50,000 truck on Facebook for $1,000, nobody's giving you $1,000. They're all offering you $800, right? I mean, somebody's looking for a deal out there. So if you had to sell something, you could get some finances. You know, there's probably a grace period where you're not going to get kicked out of your house today unless you got the notice 30 or 60 days ago. You're probably not going to lose your car. They're probably not going to repo it today, at least not unless you've had the warning there. The basic physical needs for life in America, they're abundant. They're abundant. And so I don't know that we really get this verse that, Lord, give me today my daily bread. But do you know the abundant resources that we have? What is the source? It's God, right? He is the source. Or do we have so much stuff, so much bread, that we don't even recognize that it comes from Jehovah Jireh, my provider? Are we at that point that we have so much stuff that we don't recognize that he is the reason that we have enough bread? He's the reason that we can get through today without him, with the air quotes, without him. Because it's easy to get to that place, right? It's really easy to look at what we have and like, man, I'm good. I'm good for today. I worked hard, right? It's not just our hard work. God is the source of the blessing and the provision. Listen to this, no matter what the method of delivery was. It doesn't matter what the method of delivery was that got you to the place of comfort that you're at today. God was still the source. He's still the reason that you have it. I saw this story. It was weird as I was studying. I read different commentaries and I read other sermons and listen to them and stuff. I saw this story pop up like 5 times and I was like, do you want me to use it, God, or what? So I guess I've never had that happen before. It's like everywhere I would go, I'm like, there it is. It's just reworded. Somebody like read it and rewrote it in their own words. So here we go. There's this elderly woman. She prayed for everything, right? And then she praised Jesus when things were provided for her, right? She was faithful. She would yell out the windows and shout. And so she was poor. She had many needs. And as she would pray, God would always come through, right? He would always come through, a miraculous provision, just amazing things, great testimonies that she had. And so she was very vocal and open about it. And one day, a couple of neighbor boys decided they'd pull a fast one on her, right? They're like, I heard her praying for groceries. I heard her praying that she doesn't have anything to eat and she wants God to provide. So they go to the store, they get a sack of groceries, and they run over, and they put it on her doorstep, and they go and they hide in the bushes, right? This is totally something I would have done as a kid. I'm just being honest with you. I probably would have done this when I was a kid. So this lady opens the door. She looks out on the porch, and she sees the bag of groceries. Exactly what she's been praying for. God did it again, right? In a way that no one else could do it. God, you've done it again. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Dancing on her porch, just cutting it up out there. And these boys are sitting in the bush and they're laughing. You know, they're giggling. They're snickering. And all of a sudden they pop out and they're like, you crazy old lady. God didn't provide you with that stuff. We went to the store and bought it and put it on your porch. And this lady looks at them and she's like, oh, Lord, you outdid yourself again. I can't believe you. You are so, so, so good. Not only did you provide these groceries, but you got the devil to deliver them. Now, how many of you would have looked at that bag of groceries and been like, oh, man, I really thought that was a miracle, right? I really thought that God was answering my prayer, but it turns out it's these snotty little boys. These little punks, and you know, how many of us would look at it like that? This woman knows who her provider is, right? She's at the point where she's like, it doesn't matter how they got here. It doesn't matter the method of delivery. I know that the source is my God in heaven because he's my provider. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one I was praying to, and he can use whoever he wants to provide for me. I mean, what a great example that this woman is. And I hope those boys learned something from it, right? I mean, they were probably like, oh, that kind of stinks. I thought it was going to be a lot more fun than that, right? Don't let the delivery discount the source of provision. Don't let the delivery method ever discount the source of provision. When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're first and foremost acknowledging that God himself is the giver of what we need. That's why it's give me my daily bread. He is the giver. Give us our daily bread. This means that God furnishes, right? He provides. We kind of get that part, but I want to tell you another aspect to it is that it means also that he grants or he permits, okay? When he gives it to you, when he provides it, he doesn't just give it, but he also permits you to have it. Think about that for just a moment. He permits you to have it. We need to pray daily for provision because we've got to protect ourselves from the entitlement mindset. We've got to. You know somebody that's right there where it's like they think everybody in the world owes them everything. We've got to protect ourselves from the entitlement mindset, and we've got to recognize that not only is God the provider, but he's also the one that allows us to have it. He allows us to have it. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to, not at all. He doesn't owe it to you. He doesn't owe it to you, and you don't deserve it from him. He allows that to happen. Consider the manna he provided to the Israelites. Right? Go back and read in Exodus. What did they call that? The bread from heaven. The bread from heaven. Physical needs. Right? Their physical needs would be provided for miraculously by this manna that rained down from heaven. And so we get that he provided that, but do you also know that he allowed them to have it? Right? God provided it. We see that miracle, but he also allowed them to have it. Here's a truth bomb for you. If you are not allowed to have it, then you can't have it. It doesn't matter if it's there. Right? It doesn't matter if it's there, if it's present, if you're not allowed to have it. I mean, how mean would that have been if God would have been like, here's the manna, don't touch it. Right? He provided it, but he also said, now you can have it. You can have some of that. How many of you parents do mean things like make cookies and sit them on the counter and your kids come in and he's like, man, I want some of, and they're like, you can't have them. They're for work. I hated that. When Christy worked at the health department, she always had to take stuff into work every week. And I'm like, oh man, that looks so good. She's like, you can't have it. It's for work. I'm like, for work? What do you mean? It's right there. It was provided for me. She's like, no, it wasn't. it's for work, right? But you sometimes, just because it's present doesn't mean you can have it. You also have to be allowed. You have to be given permission. Now, just to let my wife off the hook, many times she would make double. That way me and the kids could have some too. So she's a good wife and a good mom. That's why I'm on a diet now. But all right. But not only did God cause it to be there, but he allowed them to have it. Even if you want to claim that you have what you have because you did something, right? I worked hard. I did something to earn this. Remember that God allowed you to have it. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, remember that by God's provision and by his grace, you are allowed to have what you need for your physical needs. Okay, now tying this back to last week, I talked about God's will, his plan, his desire to provide for us. And so his desire is to provide for our daily needs. We see that in Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Look at nature around us. Right? Birds don't have anything. Birds don't even have a birdhouse unless you build one for them. Right? I mean, I've never seen a bird, at least a common bird, make like a real good structure. I mean, see them make a nest, but not really a structure. They don't even have a home. They don't have a pantry that they can store extra food in and keep worms alive, you know, for a long time or anything like that. They daily go and they look and they find, right? I mean, that's what a bird does. There's a lot of times we get birds. There's no trees around here. I did see a tree or a bird in our new tree the other day. Yeah, he was sitting on the top of it, and the tree was like, you know, the bird was about that fat. But they build them on top of the gutters, the downspouts, and stuff like that. They build nests in the back and on the parsonage, and And I see them all the time. You'll see this mama bird will fly off. She goes out in the field a lot of times. She'll get a bird or a worm and come up and bring it back to the baby. And they go, they find, they look and they find. That's how they provide. Okay? And so this tells us right here that God provides for them, right? God feeds them, is what the verse tells us. We're more valuable than the birds. And if God provides for the birds, then he's going to provide for us. Amen? Okay, there's actually a promise here that he will. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Are you ready for the promise? Okay, verse 33. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Right? He tells us it's a promise. You don't have to worry about the things that you need. Because if you seek the kingdom of God, if you seek Jesus, these things will be provided for you. Here's the issue that we face. How does God provide these things for me? Right? This is what we can look at in our lives and think, man, I'm not seeing it. Right? I've been praying for that and I'm not receiving it. A lot of times it's because we are not looking in the right place. We need to think about how does God provide these basic necessities for my life? I mean, it says that he fed the birds, right? He fed the birds. But you know what? I'm not going to go home after service and open up the stove and bam, pot roast. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I mean, that would be pretty cool. And I mean, did he tell any of you to go sneak a pot roast in our oven? No. I wouldn't put it past him, but it's probably not going to happen. Right? It's probably not going to happen. I mean, I could pray about it. I could pray right now with all sincerity. Lord, please, when I get home, let there be a pot roast in there. I want carrots. I want potatoes. I want that thing cooked to perfection. You know what? If I go and open it up after service, it's probably going to be empty. Right? Stove's not even on. It's probably just an empty stove. Sometimes I think we're looking for the wrong miracle. Sometimes I think we're looking for the wrong miracle. There's three parts, real quick, to God's provision. Pray, open the oven, and eat it. Not true. Just kidding. All right, here they are. Here's three parts to God's provision. Resources, opportunity, and instruction. Now I'm going to show you this back all the way back at the beginning of the Bible in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to show you resources, opportunity, instruction. Resources in 2:8 up here. "The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Right here, the resources. God gave Adam a garden, right? Adam didn't plant the garden. God planted the garden. He said, here are the resources. Step one. Step two is opportunity. This is found in verse 15. "Then the Lord took the man and he put him," where? "In the garden." He put Adam in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. Okay, so we have the resource, we have the garden, we have the opportunity that God puts Adam in the garden. And then number three, we have the instruction, Genesis 2, 16 and 17. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for if in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" So now he has the instruction. Adam, here's the garden. You're in it. Here's the instruction. His instruction is you can eat freely, as long as you don't eat that one, but eat whatever you want. See, there's those three parts. It's always God's plan and his desire to provide for his people all the way back in the book of Genesis before sin entered the world. Okay? He gave Adam the resources, the instruction, the opportunity to provide for his daily needs. Now the question is, who provided for Adam's daily needs? Did Adam or did God? Now see, if you were Adam, you would say, I did it. Right? In today's world, this is what we would do. I provided for my needs because I had to go out and tend the garden. Right? I had to go out. It says right there in verse 15. He put man in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it, to work. And so man often takes that and says, look at me. I did this. I provided for my needs. All the while, it was God that gave the resources. It was God that gave the opportunity. It was God that gave the instruction for Adam to work for his own needs. God provided, but Adam did have to do the work. Even if you look back at the birds, that scripture said God feeds them. Now, I told you a few things about birds, that they go and they look and they find and they bring it back. They do all this work, but the scripture said God feeds them. Now, they don't go to their nest and build this nest and boom, worms just like pop up. I mean, God could do that, but that's not how he works. He doesn't just miraculously put the worms in the nest. No, they have to work for them. God provides the resources, the worms. He provides the opportunity, a rainy day, soft soil, worms coming up because it's nice out. All these things, God provides those opportunities, and he provides the instruction. Now, I'm not saying that God literally speaks to the bird, but you know, it's at a minimum, it's an innate understanding that they had that they were created with, the instruction. They know we can eat worms. There are worms, I will go get them, okay? They have the instruction, however you want to look at it. God provides the worms' work, yet the Bible calls it God feeds them, right? Now, again, if that was me, if I'm a bird, I would think I went out and I did all that. No, when we're saying, Lord, today give me my daily bread, sometimes we're looking for miracle bread, and God's saying, I gave you miracle resource. I gave you a miracle opportunity. I gave you a miracle instruction, and if you would just put those things together and go do it, you would have the daily bread that you're asking me to miraculously provide, which I've already done. But you've got to work. You've got to take the steps. You've got to go do what it is that you need to do to get it. Look back at the manna, resources, bread from heaven. Hallelujah. How great would that be? Apparently, it's only great for about, you know, a couple years. By 40 years, it's really not that great. But bread from heaven, resource, opportunity. It's laying on the ground, right? There's plenty for everybody. It's literally right outside the door. Plenty. I mean, there's no lack. There's plenty of it there. The opportunity, the instruction, everyone, go and collect all that you need for when? For today. Go get your daily bread. That's the story right here. The manna is go out and get your daily bread. The only time you can get more is the day before the Sabbath. You can get enough to make it through the Sabbath because you don't work on the Sabbath. But go out, get your daily bread. It was a miracle. The Lord provided. But the people still had to go and do the work. Right? Do you see that? When you pray, give us this day our daily bread, the miracle is often a resource, an opportunity, an instruction. Not a pot roast, not a new car, not a check in the mail. Now, I do want to say that I'm not saying those things can't happen because they can. Right? The boys can come and play in a prank and put the bag of groceries on your porch. Right? You can get some kind of miracle check in the mail. Been there, done that. I've seen it. But you know what? I'm not going to be suffering and in need and sitting on the couch praying for a check to come in the mail. I'm not. That would be stupid. I mean, you could pray for God to provide a miracle, but for you to dictate how that miracle should come and what it should look like is really short-sighted. It really is. Okay? Because it may have already come in the opportunity of a buddy calling you up and saying, I need help roofing my house. I'll give you $100 a day. And you're like, no, I got to watch for the mail. Listen, this happens. And I'm telling you, it's because we hear a testimony. And I'll tell you what, a testimony of a check, a miracle check coming in the mail is supposed to build your faith. That is supposed to show you that my God can do anything. My God can do crazy stuff that doesn't even make sense. But you know what? We can't be so focused on looking for something that doesn't make sense that we're overlooking what does make sense. That he's given us a resource or an opportunity, and he's given us some instruction to provide for our needs. Again, these things can happen. They do happen. And I don't know what your needs are today. I said earlier, you know, that I'm pretty sure that everybody has enough for today, but maybe you don't. I don't know. I don't think anyone in this room is in that kind of place, but maybe you are. But think about when we're praying for our daily bread. Just think about this. When I'm praying for my daily bread, God responds by meeting needs, not greeds. Sometimes when we're praying for daily bread, we're praying for greed. I need more X, Y, and Z. And God's like, I'm not in the business of responding to prayer greeds. Right? We list out our prayer needs. Okay. I'm your guy. God's like, I would love to bless my children, but I'm not in the business of meeting prayer greeds. Anything we get beyond today, listen, you know what that is? That's shifting gears. What I need today is called provision. If I get more than that, it's called blessing. It's called blessing. It's two totally different things. When you get your paycheck, you know what? You pay your bills, you got food on the table, you got all that stuff. The necessities, okay? Not your PlayStation, you know, your PlayStation payment for the month or, you know, Netflix or whatever. I'm talking about necessities. When you got all that paid, that is the end of the provision, and everything you got left over is blessing. Now, what are you going to do with God's blessing? That's the question that we've really got to seriously consider in our hearts, is what are we doing with that blessing? I believe the primary purpose of that is to do God's work. The primary purpose of that is to do God's work. It's not to feed our greed. It's not even to make us comfortable. You know what? The reason that we don't know how to pray for daily bread is because we're comfortable. It's not so that we're comfortable. That's when we lose sight of our need for him to provide daily. God has a desire to provide all that you need. TJ, if you'd come up. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So whether you have a lack or an abundance, I want to tell you that Jesus provides. Right? He provides, he allows us to have it. He provides what we need to live each day. What we need to do is we need to be looking for how is he providing, right? Lord, how are you providing? Will you show me if you're providing me with resources, if you're providing me with opportunity, if you're providing me with instruction? When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're saying, God, will you give me those things today? You know what? Maybe I've already got them, and this is where I think a lot of us are at. Some of you are not. Some of you need those things right now. You need a resource. You need an opportunity. You need some kind of instruction. There are people that can't, right? There are people that don't have those things. There are people that have physical conditions or some kind of reason, disability, where they can't have those things. Most people are a don't or a won't, right? A don't means I don't have all three of those. I'm lacking one. You know, maybe you've got some kind of resources that you see, and you've got some instruction, and you know how to do it. All you need is someone to give you an opportunity. Pray for that. You know what? God can give you that opportunity. There's some people that are a won't. There's some people, it doesn't matter if you give them all those things, they won't do it. They're going to sit there all day long waiting for the check in the mail. All day, every day. They're going to post it on Facebook too. My God is great. He's going to bring a check in the mail. Right? And they'll shout it out in faith. And all the meanwhile, God's like, remember I sent that friend over that said Casey's is hiring? Right? I mean, God provides in all kinds of different ways, and we shouldn't be limiting him to one thing. And so today, I don't know what you need. Maybe you need one of those things, but I think most of us have those things. And you know what we need to do in praying for our daily bread is we need to say, Lord, I thank you for providing me with these things, and I thank you for allowing me to have it. You know, because I know there's people that don't have it. I know there's people on the streets. I know there's people that maybe they live in a home, but they don't have anything that they need. They don't even have food. They got to wait for the food pantry to open on Monday morning. Lord, thank you for allowing me to have what it is that I have. You know what? There's a lot of people, and there may be somebody in here right now, you hate your job. It's the worst job in the world. You'd do anything to get another job. You know what? There's somebody that would love to have your job. There's somebody that would love it if God would bless them with that provision, if they would be allowed to work at that crummy place that you work at. If that's us, we need to be thanking God every day. I tell you what, there's times where it can be very frustrating being in ministry. I've been open and honest with you guys about that. Very frustrating. But you know what? Whenever I get me out of it and I stop thinking about poor Tim and how terrible his life is sometimes, how sad he is, I think, man, thank you, Jesus, that I have this opportunity, that you've provided a means for me, and you've allowed me to get up and speak your word. Are you kidding me? Me, that brat who would have stuck those groceries on the porch and would have laughed at that old lady? Right? Me? Vicky's like, yeah, I remember that. I think you did do that. I probably did it to her. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? We've got to remember that God has provided, and he allows us to keep having what it is that we have. You know what? Tomorrow you could wake up and not have it. I've shared this probably a million times, but there's people on the streets of St. Louis that had $100,000 salaries. And you know what? A new ownership came in and bought it and said, you guys are gone. And everywhere they apply, people say, you're overqualified. I can't hire you here. And those people are living on the streets, and they used to be living in the penthouse. It can happen to any of us. Thank you, Lord, that you provide, and thank you that you allow me to keep having what it is that I have. It's when we stop seeing what God is doing in our life today, when we stop seeing beyond today, that he's going to continue to provide. He's going to continue to allow us. That's when it's hard to be thankful. I tell you what, when you think, man, this life, not only could it be over like that, but everything I have could be gone like that. You know what? One thing, one immoral relationship for me, I lose my family, I lose my house, I lose my job. That's a pretty big deal, right? I mean, whatever your situation is, you could look at something, there's one decision maybe you could make that your whole world would come crumbling down. It could happen, right? Is anybody here above all of that? I don't think that you are, because you know what? We're dealing with and we're battling with the enemy. We're in a spiritual war in this life. We can't take it for granted. We've got to give thanks in all circumstances. If you're alive, it's because God provides. So today, as we open up the altar, we're going to continue what we're doing through this whole series. It's when you pray. And what I want you to do is, if you have a need today, a physical need in your life, if you are needing an opportunity, if you're needing resource, if you're needing instruction, if you're needing a miracle check, whatever it is, I want you to come forward. And I want you to just voice that out to the Lord. We're not keeping score. We're not recording what you pray or any of that. I want you to voice that out today. I want you to let him know what it is that you need, because you know what? It's you praying. It's you telling him. Remember the verse back in Matthew. He already knows what it is that you need. But sometimes he's waiting for you to come and to ask, because as a father, he wants to bless you. And if you have other needs in your life, listen, this isn't restricted to physical needs. You can come and pray for anything today. But we're going to open up the altars now and ask you guys just to come down and pray for whatever it is that you're believing for today. Again, I'm not praying for you. I really believe that God is going to explode our faith. I really believe that God is going to explode our relationship with him through this series as we continue to dive in and pray for our own needs. You know what? I told somebody this yesterday. I said, you know what? There's a lot of times that people come to me and they want me to pray with them. And I don't always do this, but I'm going to start. And the first question I'm going to start asking is, have you prayed about this? Because I'm going to tell you what, if you haven't prayed about it personally yourself, then you're not that desperate and you're not probably not that serious or committed to what it is that you need. And so I'm just throwing that nugget out there. Just an extra, hopefully that's an encouragement. I really mean for it to be, but hopefully it's an encouragement to come down and pray for what it is you need today. And then we're going to close out in worship today. So come as you're ready.